for coming to Coal India's Analyst Meet 2025. We have with us Mr. Mukesh Agarwal, Director of Finance, Mukeshji, Director of Marketing, and Mr. Company Secretary. Thank you, everyone. Without further ado, I'll just hand over to the management. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. As already the management team has been introduced by Anand Athin Company. Chairman CIL could not attend the meeting due to work exigencies. I just want to inform that the presentation for today's meet has already been uploaded in the company's website and also informed in NSE and BSE. In the board meeting held on 7th of May, the PPT related to results were also uploaded. The reference may kindly be drawn to them. The session is around 1 hour time. We will be ending around 4:30. I think that's fair enough, everybody. Request participants kindly introduce themselves before they start the questions. The sessions will be recorded and uploaded on the website due to regulatory reasons, and if the reference can be drawn to it. May I request the participants to kindly start one by one. Thank you. Start.
Issues related to land acquisition there, and in CCR also issues related to clearances, EC and FC clearances from the ministry for certain patches. So that was the main issue where the production was slightly less than what we had projected. As far as demand is concerned from these two subsidiaries, we don't have any shortages of demand. Rather, the consumers, they want more coal from these subsidiaries as of now. This year, if we are able to meet the guidance what we are given, then probably it should clear the backlog. So we are closely monitoring the production from these two subsidiaries, and by H1 we should get a clear direction as to what quantities and how much percentages they are going to achieve. Last year, we actually had a growth of around 32% in terms of rake loading through the FMCs. And this year, in the first 45 days, we already have a growth of more than 15% there. And the new silos which are coming up in the subsidiaries of Mahanadi Coal Fields and CCL and NCL will further increase that. So we are expecting a growth of around 20% or so in this FY as compared to last year. FMCs, our rake loadings, they have increased from 292 to 311 rakes or so, and in terms of the rakes, we have increased from 52 rakes to around 76 rakes in the last FY. Last year we had a loading of 72.7 rakes per day, and this year we had, in so far in 45 days, we already have a loading of 87.1 rakes per day, which we are planning to take it down to at least up to 100 rakes per day. 100, 87.1 actually to 100 will be, but 100 rakes per day. total market share from CIL. This year, we knew the coal production from the captive and commercial is going to be somewhere around 185. They landed at 198 million tons. And going ahead with the projections, what they have already given, 320 million tons we are expecting to come from the captive and commercial. So the entire coal is going to come and eat into Coal India's share, because that is how the mines have been auctioned and that is how they have taken. From our side, the new capacities which are getting added by the power sector, number one, the capacities which were stressed stranded assets and which are now getting regulated through either NCLT or through other means, they are coming now into regular production. This demand is coming there to us. And the capacities which were earlier importing some amount of coal, which was varying from 1% to 10% for blending at different places, that has now reduced to zero. So all this addition is going to be added there with us. And when we check with our availability, then we find that we need somewhere around another 30 to 40 million ton more of the long-term commitments from non-power sector as compared to what we are having. In the last 2 years, we have already increased it by around 28%. From 90 million ton, we already reached 215 million tons for the long-term linkages with the non-power sector. And 320 million ton coming and eating into our shares and the existing commitments what the generators have already made with us for coal supplies in 29-30, that leaves us with another scouting for around 35 million tons more of long-term commitments from the market, and that includes around 10% of my total production will probably be taken by spot markets or e-auction markets, including the trade exchanges the ministry is actually working out and the spot auctions what we actually carry out. So we have factored this into account.
And Q3 it was 55, Q2 was 50, Q1 was 46. This is I'm telling about spot only. 43. This is the premium over the non-power sector notified prices what we have declared. Currently, we are right now at around 43%. And if we take out those 2 years where there was an abnormal increase, 252%, 300% premiums were obtained in the market due to whatever coal availability scenarios. Other than these 2 years, if we see the historic premiums of Coal India Limited, then normally they have hovered around 35 to 40% when the spot markets were there. So we think that probably it is going to be within that zone only. If it comes down, maybe it may come down to 30% or so also, because this demand is taken for meeting the seasonal or cyclical requirements, and this is not a base load normally type of a demand which used to be earlier. When the base load people, they came to the e-auction market, then we had that premiums of 250-300%. But otherwise, if we see in the business as usual scenarios, normally the markets were fetching us a premium of somewhere around 40%. So 30 to 40% is still what we are anticipating it should give us. With power plant stock of more than 54 million ton, if we are getting 40%, then we are hopeful that we should be able to get this premium. Was basically at these two places we have still got consumers where there is a huge unmet demand in CCL and SCCL, and this is despite the fact that around 54 million tons of stock we were able to build. But if we see it from the point of view of non-power sector consumers, then we find ki still we are having backlog areas which railway is still to supply for around 2 years or so. So and there is a huge demand from the sponge iron sector, which is actually heavily located in around Chhattisgarh SCCL. There also, we were not able to meet fully the demand in the auctions for linkages. And so we have to actually postpone it, some part of the demand to the next tranche, which we are going to conduct in October. So demand is available there. And in CCL also this year, based on the clarifications given by the Honorable Supreme Court, they are in a position to impose their own royalties or taxes on royalty. They have increased the royalty by 150 rupees. But still, the offtakes from CCL, they are growing. And the stocks what we had at CCL and SCCL are less than the stocks what we had a year ago at the same place. So if the production picks up from these two places, despite the royalty increasing the price of CCL coal, still the unmet demand for consumers from that catchment area is there.
Request the participant to please use the mic for asking questions.
Will that uptake? In terms of volume, if you see the same month-on-month comparisons, then April and May, we are in positive, around 2-3% growth is there in CCL. So CCL, we are already growing. SCCL, there is a reduction as compared to last year. So there are issues related to evacuation infrastructure and as well as coal being made available from different places. So there we have to sort out some issues which are internal to us. But in CCL, yes, there is a growth. The growth may not be of 10% or so, but the demand is still there.
So, continuing with her questions, 15% volume growth. I mean, last 3 years we struggled to achieve double digit. CCL will be doing better, accepted, but 15%, don't you think it's too optimistic, especially when we are in a subdued demand environment? Captive mines are ramping up, even in the auction, NCL and other players are ramping up their capacity very nicely. So don't you think we are a bit optimistic in terms of volume guidance and most likely will be struggling to beat it?
If you see the forecast, then for last 2 to 3 years, we have been projecting that production and offtake figures were same. This year, if you see the projections, then we are saying ki the offtake will be 25 million ton more than the productions which are there. Now, when we go on this demand subsidiary-wise and try to see what is happening at different fronts, Northern Coalfields and WCL, the figures are almost in the same range what was there for the last 2 to 3 years, and the localized demand is also available there. Mahanadi Coalfields, yes, we are banking for supplies towards the southern parts of the country or the incremental demand which is going to come. And SCCL, there is a huge demand which is still unmet in the catchment area of SCCL. What I was saying is sponge iron sector is asking, in the newspaper reports were also there, they are asking for more linkages from that place. We are not able to do that. And in terms of the e-auctions also, what we have tried to do is to increase the e-auction volumes. Because if you see the volume, the percentage bookings have come down as compared to 21-22 where the booking was almost 100%. Last year, the booking levels has come down to 63%. So we are increasing the quantities in the markets. The quantum of bookings happening is reducing as compared to 21-22, meaning thereby that consumers are becoming choosy and they are picking up their time and their places from where they want coal. So Q1 in case of power was slightly subdued. But this increase in supplies from the captive and commercial, this was anticipated by us, and that's why we are giving a projection for year on year, how much is going to come from captives and commercials. And the same rate of subdued demand from power sector, if it is going to remain in Q2, Q3, Q4, then it is going to be a different scenario altogether. But otherwise also a ballpark figures of around 2.5 to 3% growth in power sector and the new capacity additions of coal-based plants which is happening. 14,000 megawatt if it got added during last year, and this year also if the pipeline capacities what we have planned, Ministry of Power has planned, and if they come, the old plants are not getting retired. So if we get that 2.5 to 3% growth, which is not a very highly ambitious or a very optimistic figure, then also this demand should be actually be consumed by the supplies from Coal India. In today's newspapers, they have reported that from April to February of the last financial year, the imports have reduced by around 10%. So normal growth in coal consumption is happening, and the growth is not happening in imported coal-based, rather it is actually now contracting. So in the imported coal-based also, the imports what we are doing, if we
we keep aside the steel coking and the coal consumption by the imported coal-based power plants and the coal consumption by some consumers who want only high grade of coal, they are sensitive to the quality of coal, then also somewhere around 60 to 100 million tons of coal on a rough estimate should be available, where based on increased supplies only and the landed cost of coal, if it is going to reduce, that should be actually be available to us. So we are actually looking towards that side also, if our increased supplies, we can reduce that. And this is also evident in the non-power linkages, what we are offering them. So previously, 2 years back, our linkages were 90 million tons. And the tenure was for 5 years. Now, in less than 2 years, our linkages have grown by around 29%, more than 150 million tons we already got. Gasification and steel coking are still to happen for this 8th tranche. And the supplies to non-power are also increasing, because previously, for the last 3-4 years, the supplies from Coal India were heavily biased towards power sector. 80 to 82% of the supplies were being sent to power sector, while non-power was only hardly getting around 18 to 20%. So this, as per our initial estimates, we should be actually looking towards 75% to power and 25% to non-power. So if these things they happen, then and if with the captive coal coming at the rate at which it is coming, then also we will be able to keep on meeting the demand. And for CIL, if you see the projections, then from 1.1 BT to 1.1 BT, there is slightly a plateauing which is happening, 28, 29, 1, 29, 30, 1.043, and then 5 years down the line also it's 1.227, depending on that call we'll take when we reach 29, 30, whether the growth is required or whether the demand is actually saturated in the market. So as of now, by 29, 30, we see that the demand of coal should be on a sustained basis.
Thank you, sir. The Jharsuguda-Sargodha line, is it operational now, the double line?
Next year, by May, it is supposed to come. In Jharsuguda and Sardega, the silos which were there, those silos have started coming up. Jharsuguda-Barapalli, this is the 65 capacity, so by next year, it is supposed to come up.
Sir, next year means 2026. What,
yeah.
I remember, it was supposed to come in September 23. That was our focus 3 years back, right, sir? Why the delays happening there?
Delays, they are happening in the railway lines because of many factors, including land acquisitions and the involvement of other players which are there, and along with railways also. So we had these issues with the Tori-Shivpur line also, which is now almost fully operational. And with the CRL line also, so CRL line is also now fully operational. Now we are depending on the capacities of the captive blocks to be ramped up so that the traffic can come there. And similarly, this thing, CEWRL also, east-west line also, is likely to come up by this year end, if not by next year, because of certain new guidelines regarding the directions from the EC for elephant corridors to be introduced at certain places, because of which the estimates are to be revised and we have to undertake a revised DPR for that. So there are issues which are coming in the projects which are of high value, and in case of railways where land acquisition is concerned, but we are hopeful that this time around we will be able to overcome these. Slightly tricky, but I think this time around whatever delays, they have already been factored at the amount of expenditure which has happened and the level at which it is there, it should now, we should be in a position to reach those places.
So what is the current stripping ratio?
2.67.
Okay. So the stripping ratio is consistently increasing in my view, right, sir? Understood. Sir, another thing for BCCL, what would be our coking coal capacity there? And the volumes?
Coking coal capacity is BCCL, the entire coking, the production is coking coal only. So we are planning for 3 coking coal washeries there. So as of now, we have supplied them somewhere around 3.7 million tons of coal to the steel sector, out of which 2.4 or 2.7 was actually washed. So BCCL, the entire production is basically coking coal. We are not able to use it fully because of the lack of washing capacities. So we are taking two prongs. approaches to meet the requirements of steel sector, because this coal is going to be used, coking coal, only for the purpose of blending. It cannot entirely substitute the imported coal because of the ash content what is there. So for that, one is the washery monetization. So 2 million ton Dugda washery we already auctioned, and JSW Steel has become the successful bidder, wherein they are going to monetize the washery and take around 2 million tons of coal from this thing, BCCL. And similarly, in the steel coking coal linkage auctions, we have carried out a number of reforms, because 20% of the coal only what we supply raw to them is can be used directly for steel production. The rest 80% either it goes at middlings or as rejects, which previously they were not in a position to actually resell. So we have allowed them in the last tranche the option to come and participate in the linkages through by forming consortiums. So the lead partner will use the steel after washing, and the middlings which are getting generated, they can be used by the consortium partner in any CPP or a cement or a sponge, I don't know, whatever sector, so that the participation here increases. And because of that only, first time the participation of the steel sector was there, we got some premiums also, and steel coking coal was booked. This year, the 8th tranche is going to open up from 20th May. There is a demand from the steel sector, the reforms or the enabler, what we have introduced are good. They wanted one more issue, that the flexibility to change the consortium partner. The one who is using middlings, they don't want to lock in with one partner for a period of 15 years, because over a period of 15 years, many changes they happen. So this time around, we have allowed them to change the consortium partners at least twice during the linkage duration, subject to a condition of minimum 3 years he has to be there, so that they get an assurance that even if the current consortium partner does not want to continue for 15 years, they can have some more options. So this is also likely to increase their interest in this one. And once our washeries come, which are already in pipeline and will start coming up from next year, then the supplies to steel coking will increase, and we are thinking that we should be in a position to actually supplement the steel coking demand which is posed by the steel sector.
Sir, for the mechanized evacuation, what is our current rate that we are doing?
Just now, the figures what I told you, we had a 32% jump from as compared to the last year. And this year, again, we are having a jump of more than 15%. So if I give you the figures per se, last year we loaded somewhere around 311.2 rakes or so. So out of that, around 72.7, if I take the full year average, 72.7 rakes were loaded per day from the silos. This year, on the first 45 days, we have loaded 87.1 rakes as compared to the 72.7. One rake is somewhere around 3,800 tons per day, so whatever dispatches we do there from there, so it will come. And we think that we'll be able to take it to around at least 100 rakes by Q2 when 100 rakes will come by Q2 itself when the new silos will come. But by 2930, if you see in terms of the capacities, then around 900 million tons of our capacity will be enabled to be moved through the first mile connectivity projects.
Is it 150 million ton that is happening now?
150 million ton was already, when we took up the initiatives for the first mile connectivity, it was already there. The 150 million ton, why we are actually getting is the installed capacity which is there with me. So if there is a demand, and if railway is able to provide me rakes at only those silos, then 150 million ton per annum I can load. But actually what happens with railways is, I have got a set of sidings, one is a silo and one is a conventional waterfall siding is there. So in a bunch, when railway rakes they arrive, due to whatever reasons, then they are not in a position to wait at a certain place. Whatever place they get, they place the rakes and we are asked to load. So because of that, at times, even if you don't want to load the rakes through the conventional this thing, but because all the rakes have come at the same time, then whatever capacity is available with me in terms of infrastructure, we start loading from there. But if railway is able to arrange rakes in a very systematic manner, one after another, it keeps on continuously filling for 24 hours of the day, then 150 million tons is our capacity there. And some of the times even we falter, because the mine which is linked with that particular FMC, if due to whatever reasons, local reasons, strikes, etc., or less production, if it doesn't feed at that rate, then from our side also, we are at times not in a position to load the complete capacity of the FMC what is available. So on both these accounts, this installed capacity fully we are not able to use all the times.
Sir, the problem that you mentioned is mainly in SCCL. Can you assume that? Because the rake problem is
there. SCCL, if we go for FMCs, then Northern Coal Fields, we have got the capacity which is more or less fully utilized.
Right.
In CCL, we have got a capacity of loading 4 rakes per day. We are loading around 3 rakes per day. Only one FMC at Urimori, which is presently operational. Then we go to ECL, we have got only one silo in terms of rakes. Whatever we send through NGR is a different capacity. But whatever we send through the rakes, we have got a capacity of around 12 rakes. We loaded around 9 to 10 rakes because of less loading during the period of Q2, during rainy season. Yes. And then the main issue comes in SCCL and Mahanadi, where we are having silos, but the spread of railways, it requires that coal should be made available at all the sidings. And at some places, even with our silos, because of the issues of less production or less availability during the rainy season, the full capacity of the silos or the FMCs was not used on both these accounts.
Some last question from my side, if I may.
Yeah.
On the bridge linkage, currently, what would be the volume that is going for this bridge linkage?
Bridge linkage, I don't have the figures immediately with me, but I'll check and I'll get back to you.
What would be the premium in bridge linkage? Can we assume 60-70%?
No. Bridge linkage is fixed. Bridge linkages, previously it was on a best effort basis, but then we started charging 40% above the power sector notified prices to the consumers, and that is flat. Right from the first ton up to the last ton, we charge 40% except for the first 3 years of the bridge linkage. That means from the day the mine was allotted. So if the mine is allotted and it's supposed to be operational in 3 years, if it becomes operational, then it was at the power sector notified prices. But wherever the bridge, and all the bridge linkages have so far been extended because none of the mines have come in the first 3 years of their allotment. So all the bridge linkages, they are going at exactly at 40% more than the notified prices of power. And the figures, maybe I'll just check, and before we close this meeting, I'll let you.
And the charges, like 150 rupees, loading, unloading fees, and
other than that, all charges are applicable as are applicable for power and non-power. Same.
Perfect, sir. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Hi, sir. This is Yash from ICICI Prudential Mutual Fund. I had a few questions. So one, you said that the supplies from the captive and commercial mines will go to around 320 million ton. Am I right? This figure is for the coming year or in the years to come?
2930.
Till 2930. So, but as I understand, whatever mines have been auctioned, their actually peak rated capacity is around 500 million tons. You don't see
that by 2930, this 500 million tons coming, we are not projecting. We are going by what Ministry of Coal has projected based on the mining plans, what they have approved.
Okay.
So that was around 320.
Till FY30.
FY30. The initial first, the production increase comes up very fast when the mines are starting. And after that, it depends on the new mines which are going to come up. So starting new mines in... These are the low-hanging fruits which we are right now getting. And just now what I told you for bridge linkages, all the bridge linkages are more than 3 years, means none of the mines have become operational in the first 3 years. So these are the mines which are allotted in 2016, 17, 18, and now they are coming up. So these mines will, and further mines which are there, they'll keep on coming up by 2030. If the figures, they change, then 2 years down the line, again, we'll have a relook at our figures and the market figures and our plans where we are going.
So maybe the 50 million ton incremental addition that was happened last year, this year maybe it would be just 10-20 million ton as per your projections.
Around 20 million tons.
Around 20.
Yeah.
Okay. Alright. So next thing is there is this new Shakti scheme that government has launched. Can you just explain us? Is there any benefit that Coal India specifically would derive out of this? And who are the specific customers that this scheme is targeting? Because I understand before also you had the Shakti scheme, you could take linkages. So what is different now?
Actually, if you see the power sector, then from 2007, 11, 12, then 17, and then again 19, the policies which are in place for supplying coal to the power sector in a transparent and objective manner, they keep on getting updated based on the market dynamics. 2017, we had the Shakti policy where everybody was getting coal on an auction mechanism instead of a nomination-based mechanism. Nomination-based was only available for the state and central GenCos, where the profits or whatever was going ultimately to the PSUs. In this case, what they have now said is that the central GenCos will keep on. This is what I read in the newspapers. The formal orders, I think they are on their way to the. We are going to receive them. The central GenCos will get linkages on nomination basis. The states will be getting linkages on nomination. They can use it for two purposes. They can give that linkages to their own generating stations, and that's the nomination basis. Or they can use this quantity and ask for tariff-based bidding from private players. Means ki we offer them linkages at notified prices of power, no premium there, and they inbuilt this linkage in the bidding document for the tariff-based PPAs and ask for bids. Whosoever is the lowest bidder, they give this linkage to that bidder. So there they can use. And then in order to meet the short-term power requirements also, and for those players where the states may not like to embed the linkages from CIL at notified prices in the bidding document, they may just ask for PPAs and coal may be sourced from anywhere. For them, we are having two windows. One will be a short-term window, one will be a long-term window. Short-term windows, maybe they can source power for a period of around 7 years. Long-term window, they can source power for around 25 years. And the existing players who are also there, they can also switch over to this window, but provided they should first lift 100% of their assured quantities from the existing linkages and then balance for whatever reasons, some grade slippages or quantities less or more generation requirement or whatever is there, they can shift to that. So that flexibility has been given to them. So they don't have to depend entirely on the existing linkages. If they want, then they can play it on both sides. Means they can take it from my existing FSAs, or they can go and participate in the auction windows and take coal from there also.
Is there any contingent liability relating to the tax on minerals case in the last Supreme Court hearing?
Actually, that case is under review. And as on date, there is no final outcome. So we had not taken any.
Last time we had estimated around some 35,000 crores of. So
that is estimated as there, but actually the order should come. Then any liability should arise. As at present, there are the different people, club petition is there. Once the review petition is heard, after that a specific order will come. After the order will come, then we will see what will be the liability on this account.
Sir, and lastly, on the e-auction part of the business, what's our thought process behind that? Do we have a specific percentage that we like to keep for e-auction? Or do we say that we can do as much as we can, we'll just go and just flood the market with the e-auction volumes? If our FSA is obviously fulfilled.
Actually, the e-auctions, we were given first a mandate, Coal India was given a mandate in 2007, that in order to develop the spot markets, at least 10% of your production will be offered in the e-auction markets to develop the spot markets and meet the seasonal and cyclical demand of the consumers. So that was one guideline. Then 2016, we gave them another guideline, that you can offer up to 20%, that is subject to the condition that the FSA requirements are met. The thought process behind this, probably from the government, was that we should not be trying to actually maximize the revenues by going through at the cost of the long-term linkage consumers. So that was there. So now what we have done is, since some subsidiaries, they are having high stocks, some subsidiaries like Northern, there is a huge demand from the existing consumers. And CIL as a whole is supposed to meet this range of between minimum 10 up to 20. So we have asked Northern to slightly reduce the quantities and keep on offering more for the FSA consumers which are there. And the other subsidiaries, we have asked them to offer up to 40% of their monthly production if they so want, in order to liquidate a stock from a certain mine or a certain place. And then by Q3, we'll again take a stock, because we know it's not probably going to buy, whatever chance, it's not going to increase beyond 20 also. So to give them some local flexibilities in some pockets, we have given that. So based on that, the subsidiaries, now some subsidiaries, they have increased their offers of beyond 20% of their monthly production also. Some are still at 10 to 12%. Some subsidiaries, this is a dynamic pricing process. Some subsidiaries are reducing their reserve prices. Some subsidiaries are actually keeping it at the same levels, depending on how the market is responding. So 10 to 20 is the range where we have to be there at the end of the year.
So basically what you mean to say is if there is demand in the auction and if you have committed your FSA supplies, you'll be supplying whatever you can up to 40% wherever.
Yeah.
So currently if that is not happening, it means that there could be lower demand is what I'm implying.
A number of situations that some places where the issue of railway rakes is there. So there in that case, we may not be in a position or we are not interested in further increasing the railway load. There we try to increase offers through road mode. So road mode also again, the road mode normally attends to the local demand which is there within normally around 50 kilometers or so normally. So if that demand is saturated, the offtakes will be lesser. But whatever trends we have seen so far, the percentage premiums what we are getting is somewhere around 40% and the bookings are in the range of around 55 to 60% of whatever we have offered to them. And these numbers will again change because historically, we have seen during Q2, the bookings, they increased, the supplies from my side, they reduced. So overall, if we see probably around 30 to 40% somewhere.
30 to 40% of total?
Of the premiums we should be probably be getting. This is the long-term 7-year average if we see taking out the 2 years of abnormal very high premiums. If
and
take
volumes
out.
Around 10 to 15% of total?
10 is minimum we have to keep and around the 20%, beyond 20% we will not allow as of now. So, but even at 20% and 850 million tons of production, that makes around 170 million tons of coal being booked, which should not be an issue because last year we were in a position to book around 90 million tons only. So we are not worried that we are going to increase 20%.
Okay. Sir, and just one last question. How do we see the employee cost going ahead from here on and how much of the employee count is reducing every year and projected to reduce every year?
Presently, we have around 2.20 lakhs employees. On average, 12,000 employees are superannuated to the year. Against those, we are expecting from 1,000 to 2,000 acquisition process. Manpower cost will continue to reduce next 1 year. After that, we will be achieving the 26 and the digital then the manpower cost again.
On an absolute basis, you mean to say around 48,000? Thanks.
Yeah, Patanjali from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Sir, I have a couple of questions. One is, what is our share of MDO target for the next few years? And what would be the differential in terms of cost structure if we use a MDO route to produce and sell versus doing it with our own employees or as a different.
Actually, there is no such target. Ki how much will be the MDO, how much will be the department. We always encourage the departmental production. But when we are taking in new mines, we evaluate which mode will be the most economical. If the MDO mode is going to be economical, we are going with that. But if there is a mine where is already taking into consideration, we are taking a call. So based on the which project model is giving best IRR, we are going ahead.
Sir, and you've given guidance for 26, FY 26, is around 875 million tons. But
yes.
The power growth is only around 3%. So I don't get the bridge of how the coal consumption can be significantly higher when your demand is growing only by 3%.
The demand is growing by 3%, but what we are looking towards is the coal, which was number one coming from the imports, this one, that we just now we discussed the figures of around between somewhere between 60 to 100 million tons is still there for us to work. Secondly, even on this high base, a 2.5 to 3% growth in the power generation, this translates to a growth which is in line with the and the new capacities which are getting into power sector for 14,000 megawatt which has come. So these two things plus the growth projections which are given by Ministry of Power. So that growth projection has given us a 6% increase in coal demand from us. We are hardly taking 2.5 to 3%.
And current year, were there like meaningful delays in terms of commissioning of plants? FY 25,
which plants?
Power plants.
Power plants, yeah.
can you quantify how much that would be, like as per your estimate in the starting of the year, what would have been your expectation in terms of capacity available for supply, and where was it at? What was the miss there?
Yeah, I didn't get the question.
So for FY25, thermal capacity for which you could supply coal,
yeah,
how much was your expectation initially and how much did it come out to be?
Yeah, we had a plan of supplying around 645 million tons of coal for power sector through all the bridge linkage and the regular ones, and we ended up at somewhere around 614. And in case of non-power, the balance growth, what we got, around 10% growth from 133.8 to 147, the rest of the growth which came to us, so around 5 million tons of reduction in power and around this 10% increase or 14 million tons of growth there. So 5 reduction and 10 here, so 14 million tons we grew in non-power. Total our growth was around 10 million tons as compared to last year.
So based on what you're saying, this year's shortfall was around 40 and around 80 million tons get added next year. So additionally, closer to 110 to 120 million should come in power demand alone for 26. Is that correct?
120 means? 120
million tons of additional demand from the power sector for FY26. Would that be the correct understanding?
They have, this year they have asked us 686.
686?
Six, from Coal India only.
Understood.
So Sandy and Captive and all those people, they'll also come into that. So they have given a projection of around 786 from us only.
Okay. And last question, sir. E-auction, like last 5 or 6 years or even 10 years, if we take, the rate of growth is like 5-year volume would be around 4% growth and 10-year is around 5.5%. So can you tell us like why there was a phase between like 14 to 19 where the volume growth was very sharp and we hit like 100 million consistently, but today like we have tapered down from there, so it kind of reduces our profit pool very significantly because we make probably 2.5 or 3 times as much as money doing that. So what is the missing link here? Because on one side we are not meeting just meeting the 10% requirement, but it's a significantly higher profit pool for us. So why would we miss out on some, like based on what you're saying, we can go up to 20%. So why, where are we not able to meet this demand, or what is happening?
Whatever we have offered, so in 22-23, whatever we offered, 98% was taken up by the market, whatever we offered. Then in 23-24, 82% was taken by whatever we have offered for the full year. And 24-25, whatever we offered, around 63% was taken up by the market. So this appetite of the market, it actually changes. During the periods of 21-22, when it was picking up very sharply, you would have seen a sharp drop there. That was because of a PSU, the thrust to supply to the long-term commitments made to the power sector. So it had its toll there. We first met the long-term commitments, and the e-auctions volumes was very low. The premiums was very high. But that, for a PSU, it happens when the shortages in the market, they occur. We are supposed to be meeting the long-term requirements. And now when the long-term requirements are more or less met at most of the places, whatever they are projecting, then we are trying to see how best we can meet their unmet demand or the cyclical demand, which they are not able to contract through a long-term demand. And at the same time, if you see my FSA commitments as compared to 2016-17 or say 19-20, the place where we are comparing, my FSA commitments have increased like anything, including both for power and non-power. So if my FSA commitments increase, the consumer base within the country is the same. So either it has to come down from the imported coal or the incremental growth in the economy which is coming there. So we are on right now, in order to meet the market demand, in order to reduce the reliance on import. The import, a person importing coal, he is going to reduce import only when I enter into long-term contracts with him. Short-term contracts, nobody gets the confidence of actually not getting towards imports. So this was one reason ki if we have to, on a long-term basis, if you have to get the consumers, then you have to offer them long-term contracts. Last two tranches of non-power, what we have done, we have increased the tenure from 5 years to 10 years. So that from my side, I was able to lock in a consumer for 10 years. From consumer side, I was giving him an assurance of sustained supplies from one source for a longer period of time. So these two factors, means myself ramping up my long-term commitments of power and non-power, and consumers coming towards this side. This is the issue why we are not able to actually keep on increasing the e-auction volumes there. There was one question of bridge linkages. Just now somebody asked, 22 million ton is my existing commitments with the different consumers of power and non-power.
Given a guidance of capex of 80,000 crores previously, I mean 2 quarters ago, and today's presentation that was released yesterday, in coal to gas, coal gasification, it's coming around 37,000-38,000 odd crores, and the thermal power generation phase one is about 15,000 crores. So where is the other balance going to be taken?
Land, plant and machinery for the mines. These are the diversification capex, but the regular capex for the mines will continue where the land, plant and machinery and other equipment will be required.
Which will obviously go into the growth of the production. So,
yeah.
So this could be like your maintenance capex.
Also thermal projects is also there. We are working Mahanadi coal field.
Yes.
We are trying for the one DVC joint venture. For this. So all those capex will also come. So these are the only the diversification and critical mineral we had not considered here. So those figures are formed. Around 20,000 crore rupees capex will continue for the next 3 to 4 years.
And when do we see the, you know, obviously because we're going for gasification, we see the positive effect on the net margins. So when would we be able to see that in the coming years?
Actually, for this, we had called the bids. We had done a Sonpur Bajari coal to syngas, where we had formed a JV with the BHEL. BHEL coal to ammonia nitrate, for that bids has been called up. Let the bid should be come, we will evaluate whether the project feasibility is coming. After that, so it is still in the...
So the capex numbers there would still not have been done, right? It will happen eventually once the bids come.
After the bids will come and the project will be done.
Okay.
Hi sir, this is Basant Joshi from 3P Investment Managers. Coming to capex, you mentioned that 20,000 crore capex will be spent every year going forward. So how much did we spend last year?
Last year it was 19,500 crore plus.
But sir, if we look at the cash flow, the cash capex was around only 11,000 crore.
14,000 crore rupees is there. Apart from there, also some other places capex advance is there. Which we give and other things will, if you go totally, it will come to 19,500.
Sir, again, when would be the non-executive wage revision be due? Because last time it was around 22.
June 26.
So again, we would be looking at some sharp cost increase in the employee cost. So to tackle that, are we taking efforts to the making any efforts to increase the FSA prices?
It will be taken call the board at appropriate time. Let the wage revision should be finalized based on that. Considering so many factors, the board will take the final call. How much is cost to be revised or not? When is to be revised?
And sir, last year in your balance sheet, you highlighted that you have around 15,000 crore of receivables from the tax authorities. I think we also realized some money in the last quarter.
Yes.
So can you guide like how much have we realized, how much is pending and timelines for realizing the balance?
Yes, 3,000 crore rupees has come that you have seen in the other income. Other
right.
is also in the process. It has not come so far. So this is always takes a longer time.
Right.
The argument of time, not
no, but those are settled cases, right? And sir, OBR balance, we have around 58,000 crore in the balance sheet as a liability. So, in how many years do we plan to unwind that into P&L?
It is not a planning. It is the behavior of the mines. How the mines will behave. Last 2 years, some 7,000, 8,000 crore rupees have been unwinded. And based on the mines' movement and the mines' nature, even though we expect it will take 3 to 4 years or 4 to 5 years.
Okay. And sir, historically we have kept very high cash balance because we had this OVR liability, our stripping activity liability in the balance sheet. Assuming this liability comes down substantially, would we still like to keep high cash balance or give out as dividend?
There are two different things. OVR stripping is not a cash item. It is a non-cash item. So cash balance is indifferent of the stripping ratio. So whatsoever the cash balance is there, that will be utilized because in the next 4 to 5 years. And for that also equity is required. So based on that, this cash balance, as and when the capex will progress, the cash balance will also be get deployed.
Thank you, sir.
Sir, just wanted to know what's our view on the pricing front in terms of e-auction prices. Like we generally see a general trend of coal prices are kind of weakening. So are you also similarly seeing a trend of the e-auction prices?
Normally, e-auction prices, if we see the historical trend of CIL, then number one is they have moved in tandem with the imported coal prices. This is one correlation which we do if we map the e-auction premiums and the imported coal-based prices where it has gone. That is one. And historically, in terms of absolute numbers, it is around 30 to 40%. It was there. Now with the commercial and captive mines coming and the sufficient coal stock at the power plants end, we may get somewhere around 30 to 35% or so. That will depend. As of now, we are still getting around 40% or so. So this will be dependent on how the market gets its supplies from the different players in the market.
So the near-term trend, as per what we see, is a bit challenging, right, in the pricing front?
Challenging means ki, I don't know, when coal was available in plenty, then also we had 35-40% premiums. When coal was in shortage, 2017-18, then also we had a 38-42% premium ranges overall, some places high, some places low. So it's very difficult to forecast the prices what you are going to get in the next quarter, but probably the guidance is we are going to be somewhere between 30 to 40.
Okay, and in this 875 million ton, the guidance that you had given, how much is the e-auction volume?
E-auction volumes, again, we said ki 87.5, I have supposed to do this benchmark, and around 170 I have to do again because that is the upper limit, so it has to be somewhere in between them depending on how the market takes up. Last year we were able to do 89, so this year our idea will be, because we have to liquidate 25 million tons of stock also with us, so our idea will be to offer coal if the market takes up to 20% of our production. If it doesn't take, then the final figures we will firm up maybe by the third quarter when we get a better clarity on how much has so far been booked by the market.
Okay, but you are pretty confident that there will be a reasonably good growth in that?
Yeah.
Mid-teens kind of? In what, double-digit kind of growth?
In, yeah, at least.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you everyone for coming. From the entire team at Anand Rathi, we would like to thank Mr. Mukesh Agarwal sir, Director Finance, Mr. Mukesh Chaudhary sir, Director Marketing, Dubey sir, Company Secretary, Dr. Manjari for coming, and thank you for everyone for coming. Now I would like to invite Vishal sir just to come up on stage and
thank you. thank you very much for I would specifically thank Mukesh Agarwal sir and entire team of Coal India Management, and thank you all for coming here and making this event successful, and we keep trying to organize events like this in future, so keep